I want you to turn to Matthew with me. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Matthew chapter 9. Well, we've had excellent preaching today, and I feel like this is going to be offering you an aspirin after you've had a shot of cocaine, but we're going to do the best we can. That's what they do with this drug program. They bring you down, you know. We're not going to go cold turkey, but it's the closest thing you've ever been to. Matthew chapter 9, verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is now even dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus rose and followed him, and so did the disciples, or his disciples. And behold, a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put at forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame thereof went abroad into all that land. Let's pray and we'll get to our thought. Lord, thank you for the safe journey here. Thank you, God, for the anticipation and what we've heard and how you've blessed and answered my prayer. And God, help me with things this week. And I pray, God, that you'd use me now to be help. God, I pray that you'd just honor what your word says with your sweet spirit, and God, we'll be blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. The account tells us how Christ in his ministry now is approached by this man, and the Bible says he worshiped him and came, and I have children and grandchildren, and I can't imagine anything harder to do in this life than to follow a casket to a cemetery when it's your children. I pastor, and I've pastored long enough to I'm burying another generation that's come along now. It's always heartbreaking to bury children before you bury their parents. And here this man pours his heart out and he says, Lord, if you'll come and just touch her, she's dead. The funeral is in process now. But if you'll come, I believe you can raise her if you'll come. And he steps up and he follows the Lord, and the Lord goes, and the disciples come, and they reach the house, and the wailing is going on, and you've watched television in those Arab and Middle Eastern countries, and Jewish, the emotions of those funerals, and the wailing is going on, and the music's being played, and it's a sad scene, and the Lord approaches the door, and says, Give place. I'm here. She's not dead. She's going to live again. Amen. Upon that, they begin to laugh at the Lord. It's not a laughter of joy. It's not a laughter of humor. It's a laughter of scorn. How could you say something like that? This family doesn't need that now. Why would you do that? That's cruel. No doubt there was those there that spoke with the pride of when Lazarus was to be raised, and they said, don't open this. Don't open this up. But he did. I want to take our time this morning and talk from two words there that Jesus said, give place. give place. Now, the pastor introduced me and said I was from North Carolina, so my paraphrasing has a hillbilly twist with a southern twang. I believe what the Lord is saying here, and the dictionaries that I study back it up. What the Lord was saying here is, get out of the way and let me work.
Amen.
I believe that sometimes the hardest thing that we'll ever learn in our ministries is to get out of the way and let the Lord work.
Amen.
I mean, we go to God and we worship the Lord as this man did, and we offer Him our desires and our requests, and He begins to move, and we begin to question His motives and question His methods, and sometimes the Lord says, "Would you just get out of the way and let me work?" And we get upset with God. And we get disturbed with God, and it could be said we would laugh Him to scorn. God, I don't see any way you can work. And God says, I won't until you get out of the way. I just want to mention in my own way of preaching here this morning five areas of our life and five circumstances of our life when we'd do well to get out of the way and let God work. First of all, I just written down here, when give place when you need something that only God can give. This man didn't call for the physicians. He didn't call for the medicine people. He didn't call for the medics. He went to Jesus because he knew in his heart only Jesus could do what he needed done. And sometimes, folks, we get into circumstances and we get into situations where if we'll evaluate, there's no need in going to anybody else. Amen. There's people that are sympathetic, and there's people that'll listen, and there's people that'll quote scripture, and there's people that will be concerned. But sometimes only God can do what we need. The reason some people will go to hell, because they just could not get out of the way and let God do what only God can do. When you need to get saved, God doesn't need any help. When you come to the end of yourself, and when you come to the place that you're hanging out over hell, you need to have common sense enough to know everything I've done has only brought me to this place. Why not just let God do it? And sometimes we need to help people understand, hey, listen, it's not me. I'm not involved here. It's not you. When you come down to where you're really to confess yourself a sinner, you just give it to God, and God's got to save you. Amen. Your baptism isn't going to help that one whit. Your Ten Commandments are not going to help that. Your church membership's not going to help that. You're just going to have to turn loose and let God do what only God can do. Amen. And sometimes I think too, when we're talking about the salvation of a soul, but sometimes it's very frustrating when we have a life that we want to see changed. Now that's what salvation's all about. But sometimes as Christians, we've got someone in our home. We've got someone in our family, and we want to see something done so badly there. But you know what? Only God can change a life. Well, preacher, if I just stay at it, if I just keep nagging, if I just keep suggesting, if I keep the pressure on, no, maybe what we just need to do this morning is give that son to God and let God do that. Amen. Give that daughter to God. Give that marriage to God. And just say, God, I can't do anymore. God, I've just got to get out of your way. And very simply put, if you don't do it, it ain't going to get done. God, it's yours now. It's yours. And so when we have a need that only God can fulfill, we need to get out of the way and let God do it. But my second thought is this. Give place when the enemy is making an attack. Now, most of us grew up under the philosophy of, you get in my face and you got a problem. You know why they call us Tar Heels? Don't move. And sometimes when the enemy comes, our manhood's been challenged. And we're going to take care of it. I mean, it's handled. When sometimes we need to listen, give place unto wrath. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Get out of the way. Let God take you. Could be the cruelest, meanest, ugliest thing you could do is let God take care of this. Amen. The other day someone got in a situation in our church and they said, Preacher, do you know any lawyers, Christian lawyers that have character and are above board and have great ethics and standards? I said, no. I don't. And they said, well, we need a lawyer. And they started giving me their... I said, you need the crookedest, low-downest, meanest sleaze bag in the world, because those folks need to be taken down. Now, I hate to compare that to the Holy Ghost of God. But you say, Lord, I need a hitman. God, I don't need one of those quick and it's over. I want somebody to start at the kneecaps. You know, all of us have had our dogs get in a fight, and you die for your dog. Amen. And that mongrel's just eating your dog up, and you got that club, and you say, Jimmy, if you get out of the way, I'll take care of you. Just get out of the way. But that dog just can't leave that other dog alone so that you can get a lick in. And after a while, you just want to say, well, dummy, I'm just going to let him eat you. I wonder how many times God says, Preacher, if you get out of the way, I'll take care of this. If you'll leave it alone, I'll take care of it. And we just can't turn it loose. We got a deacon problem. We just can't turn loose. Some fellow got spiritual and looked at me one day and said, if God be for you, who can be against you? I said, the deacons can. That's it. Give place unto wrath. Get out of the way. I can do this better than you can do this. Give place unto wrath when the enemy comes in like a flood. Romans 12:19. The third thing I've written down here is, we need to give place when the challenge is more than we're up to. Sometimes God sets something out in front of us that so overwhelms us that we begin to think, how can I scheme? How can I start laying? What do I? And sometimes God puts the challenge there so huge that we just back up and say, God, you've got to do it. Amen. Right. Amen. I think sometimes we shine our egos up a little bit, saying, "Hey, listen, the mountain that God puts in front of you is a measure of your faith." No, it isn't. The mountain that God puts in front of me is the measure of my God. He don't put down there what I can take care of. He puts down there what I have to give up on and let Him take care of. Amen. We're relocating and got to in the midst of this project and everything. And I tell you right now, I built three churches and I'm used to taking a shovel and digging a footing. I'm not used to calling in track hose. I'm used to laying the blocks with my hand. I'm not used to subs. And God put this thing that's just overwhelming to me. I mean, seriously. We were supposed to lay block today, and last night, hailstorm come, the ditches are full of water. And I woke up this morning, I said, God, you got a ditch full of water. Did you know that? I mean, I guess we ought to go to God with everything, but the little things we can handle sometimes. But I've just had to say, God, this is not my work, this is yours. And when it gets 2 weeks behind schedule, when it does, God, you got a problem. Why? Because I'm going to get out of the way and just let God take care of it. And when that challenge is in your life, when those mountains are set up there, I think about Solomon, when God said, all right, you the man. And Solomon said, Lord, I'm but a child. I can't do this. God, I'll step up there and take the credit, but we know who's going to have to do this if it gets done. Give place. Just get out of the way and let God do what God wants to do. We feel like we're the mouse and the elephant that crossed the bridge, and mouse looked at the elephant and said, we shook that bridge, didn't we? No, listen to me. When God sets that challenge up there, He's not wanting you to beat your brains out. He's not wanting you to get an ulcer. He's not wanting you to lose your health and lose your marriage and your family. God is trying to get something in front of you that you will turn from and just let God take care of it. Amen. When the challenge is bigger than we're up to, the fourth thing I've written down, give place when your heart is broken and you don't know why. Sometimes we use the term, we come to the end of our rope. Sometimes things happen. Sometimes friends betray us, and sometimes some husband will say, I don't love you anymore. And sometimes a day that started out normal will end in disaster. And your heart is broke, and you just say, God, where do I turn from here? You just got to step back and let God minister in those needs. I think about the psalmist when he said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Amen. We don't need to start laying our own plans. We don't know. Self-examination sometimes is not, that's not, I don't even know whether I'm saved or not. God, what did I do wrong? Lord, where did I go wrong? Sometimes that's just not the thing. Sometimes God's wanting you just to turn it over to Him and say, let me take care of this for you. Let me show you what I can do. Lord, I'm at the end of the rope. Well, just hand the rope over to God and say, now God, this is yours. The last thing we'll mention, this give place. When it's our time to die. This is not the youngest crowd I ever seen. Amen, Brother Doug. I remember when they called him Doug the Black Hair. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. I talked to a pastor the other day, my age, and said something to the effect, well, summer's gone, fall, we're another season. And I asked him, I said, does it ever dawn on you, am I just having an emotional problem here, but does it ever dawn on you that you and I don't have that many more of these season changes? Do you ever think about that? Man, I can remember when I couldn't wait for spring to get over so summer would be here. I couldn't wait for spring, summer to get over for the next, and the next, and the next. And now I'm saying, no, Lord, just back it up. Slow it down. Where's my ministry going to be? Where's my life? How's it going to? And God says, you're just going to have to get out of the way, and I'll handle that. I'll take care of that. Isn't it wonderful when you're called to the hospital and there's some saint of God there not asking you to pray a little longer, please, Jesus. But there's some saint of God there that's saying, preacher, it's my time. It's my time. Everybody in this room's heard Tom Hayes' song, New Grace. I think most everybody's heard that. And he'll give me new grace. I'm not going to sing when it's my time to die. Brother Tom told me the story of how he came to write that. And I think I've got it correctly. It's Harold Sattler. He went to see Brother Harold Sattler in the hospital. And Brother Sattler was very ill. And he visited with him a little while. And he said, Tom, looks like I'm going to die. And he said, I'm scared to death. He said, I preached all my life. When it comes time to die, there'll be grace. And he said, I'm scared to death. He said, I'm fighting panic. And he said, you know what that tells me, Tom? Tom said, no. He said, that tells me I ain't going to die. And Tom said, what do you mean? He said, I'm scared to death. If I was going to die, there'd be a peace to die by. Amen. You know what? When it comes time, it'll be easy enough to get out of the way and let God do what God can do. Let's bow our heads where we're seated.